brought a young man into our family. Listen, every ounce of this has been way less than perfect. We've all had our moments. We've all done dumb stuff. We've all said dumb things. Even that horse has done dumb stuff.
You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Friska. This message was recorded on August 26, 2020, and is taken from Genesis chapter 27, verses 1 through 29. Grab your Bible, turn to Genesis 27, and let's join Steve and the message.
There's days that we've been crazy about each other, and there's been days that we've made each other crazy. There's days we look like the best Christians on the face of the earth, and the other 99%, not so much. But God was providential in the whole thing, just creating opportunity. And we wake up one day, after all that we've done and all we've seen, and we've had a lot of really neat times together. And you get this one moment where we're all in a pile with a real special horse. Paul Paul's the auctioneer. Ransom's the jockey. Justin's the horse trainer. Ryder's been the assistant for 4 years. Uma, she's been the prayer warrior, and Casey, she's just been the chore hand. And all of a sudden, you have this one moment, and it's not about the money, but something deep down inside of you comes up. You can't explain it. You can't outrun it. You can't hardly even breathe through it. That's God. That's our Father in heaven. Then I've been all this time setting you up for a moment like that. And I don't know even if, I mean, the birth of my children was awesome, but it's kind of gross, really. I'll tell you, being a man in a room with a woman having a baby is a lot of work. You tell Robin ain't here. I hope she ain't watching. No, all these special times, but it just dawned on me this weekend. Because all these years, I haven't understood the providence of God. I haven't understood exactly who my Father is. And then he sets us up for these very special moments in time that are the greatest gift a human can have. He set them up. Everybody's in the right place. Isaac's laying in bed thinking he's going to die. Esau's standing there thinking go hunting. Rebecca, she wasn't in the bathroom. She just happened to be standing there where she could hear. Here she comes with a plan. As I read out this plan, every good church member is going to go, whether you lying, sorry suckers, how can you act like that and be in the Bible? I mean, for crying out loud, you're fixing to trick one of the greatest guys in the Bible, old Isaac. You're going to lie to him and you're going to trick him. You ungodly little mess. How'd y'all even make it into the Bible? The same way a lying prostitute did it in Hebrews 11. She always gave me hope, old Rahab did. If a lying prostitute can get in the hall of the fame of the faithful, surely a horse sale auctioneer can land in there somewhere. So she tells him, she said, now go to the flock, bring me 2 choice kids from the goats, and I'll make savory food from them for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall take it to your father, that he may eat it, and that he may bless you before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, look, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man. I'm a smooth-skinned man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be a deceiver to him, and I shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing. See, old Jacob, he's pretty smart. But his mother said to him, let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go get them from me. Look, you can hear it in her voice. She knows what God told her. She knows how this has been playing out, and she's been waiting on this opportunity. And it's like, hey, come on, I know that you're going hanging out in the kitchen here quite a bit, but you want to have to man up right quick. Go kill a couple goats, bring me the skin, and we're gonna do this now. And so said, go do it. And then verse 14 says, and he went and got them, brought him to his mother. His mother made savory food such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the choice clothes of her elder son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. Then she gave the savory food, the bread which she had prepared, into the hand of her son Jacob. The only thing I can figure is back in them days where you didn't have showers and running water, that smelling like a dead goat was kind of a common thing. I can't imagine putting on a fresh-cut goat skin and walking in and asking for nothing. This makes wearing a mask look pretty easy. Anyway, did it. And so he went to his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am. Who are you, my son? Jacob said to his father, I'm Esau, your firstborn. He's a lying little bugger. How's that work? You think God would smite him on the spot? Bald-faced lying. How many of y'all grew up in church and told you that was wrong? Ten Commandments says don't bear false witness. Don't be lying. So how come he gets away with it? Huh? How many of y'all grew up in church and thought if you told a lie that there'd be a lightning bolt hit you right square in the middle of the head? So I'm assuming you people have never lied. You're here to tell about it. How many of y'all ever thought maybe sometime we'll just get over ourselves just a tick? I'm not condoning lying or anything else. I'm just showing you how the God of all creation, the God of all perfection, the God of all salvation works in the middle of humans. Humans. You reckon old Jacob's shorts would draw it up a little bit? Trying to fix his goat skin. Said right here. Then Isaac said, Jacob, please come near. Or he said, but Isaac said to his son, how is it that you have found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord your God brought it to me. I'm talking about, this ain't this boy's first day to lie now. It's coming out easy. He doesn't lie about his name. Now he's involving God in his lies. How'd you get that game? Well, God gave it to me. So he says, how many of y'all would believe that nothing should go right for this guy? So he's standing there, and then Isaac said to Jacob, please come near that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not. So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. Then he said, are you really my son Esau? He said, yes, I am. Dang, that's a lot of lying. I remember I used to lie to my dad some. What time did you get in, boy? 4:00. I just let him believe it was 4:00 in the afternoon. not 4:00 in the morning. Boy, I tell you, did anybody ever fear getting found out? See, right now, Jacob's lying his teeth out. He doesn't have any fear of God. He's got fear of his mother and fear of found out. How many of y'all ever operated that way? Fear of getting found out. I mean, there's a lot of humanity in this story right here. But watch how God works it out. Remember the prophecy? The older will serve the younger. Now, we got a whole pile of stuff. And I'll tell you what's funny is in different translations. Let me ask y'all right quick. If you don't have an NIV Bible, anybody that doesn't have an NIV Bible, what, you know, above chapter 27, the little squiggly words up there that kind of define the chapter. Anybody got something that says anything different than Isaac blesses Jacob? Anybody got Isaac deceives, or I mean, Jacob deceives Isaac? You do? Yeah, there's some of them. I got tickled the other day because I was looking at a couple of different versions of the Bible, and I thought, now here's a human depiction of God's story. And here's how people feel about it. Because, see, God didn't write those words. The guy who copyrighted your Bible wrote those words. And so my Bible says Isaac blesses Jacob. But through the right perception, it might say Jacob deceives Isaac. Which way is it? Which way is it? Both ways. Did they not trick Isaac? But still yet, did Jacob not get blessed? Huh. You see, if you'll look at this story through the lens of church, you're going to have a hard time figuring this out. How in the world would a guy like Jacob get blessed when Jesus stand there flat-footed, bald-faced liar? I mean, if you're a flat-footed, bald-faced liar, even at my horse sale, you'll get caught. Looky here, he gets blessed. Do you think a Father in heaven who's providential, who has an everlasting plan in the earth, might create opportunity even when humans wouldn't use the right protocols and the right procedures and do everything just exactly like a man ought to do it? I get challenged all the time. There's people come, I mean, here lately because I've been so noticeable here lately, I guess. But do you think you should sound like you sound? You know, you're a pastor. Well, would you like to tell me just exactly how a pastor is supposed to sound? Could anybody explain that to me? Just exactly how I'm supposed to sound? Not a little rough around the edges. Not a little forthright. Not a little gruff from time to time. Not funny. Not natural. Am I supposed to have a preacher voice? How many of y'all ever had one of them had a preacher voice? They talk to you like this during the week at the donut shop, and then when they got up here in the front, they, well, thus says the Lord, you know. What, that's the Holy Ghost? Or did you practice in the shower? Are preachers not human? Because if you'll follow them home, they're just as human as the rest of you. And in the midst of humanity, or sometimes our techniques won't be the best. Sometimes our procedures won't be the best. Sometimes in the heat of battle, our verbiage may not be the best. But still yet, there's a Father in heaven who seems to get it pulled off. He must truly be an amazing God because he's doing this with humans. That's pretty amazing. He said, the older will serve the younger. And mom waited on a chance. She talked her kid into tricking dad. He's lying through his teeth just to save his own skin. Or the goat skin or something. He said, bring it near to me. And I'll eat some of my son's game so that my soul may bless you. So he brought it near to him and he ate. And he brought him wine and he drank. I'm smarter than Jacob. I'd have brought him the wine first. Said, here, Dad, wet your whistle for a minute before I bring you these goats. Then his father Isaac said to him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him. And he smelled the smell of his clothing. And he blessed him and said, listen now, because this is your blessing. Anybody here born again? This is your blessing. Listen to your father tell you your blessing. Surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let peoples serve you. How many of us know that we were saved to serve, not be served? But because you've been given all authority on heaven and earth, all things are subject. All things are subject. Not for your benefit, not the people are your handmaids, servants, or slaves. We don't do that. But you serve the Most High God by serving others. But no one on this planet has the authority or the blessing like God's people do from the Creator of heaven and earth. Let peoples serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren. And let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you. When I find them trolls on Facebook and they want to, one of them named me Colonel Sanders the other day. I don't say bless your heart. But Lord, did you see what that guy said? You see that, Dad? I don't think that guy likes you or me, neither one. I ain't tattling, I'm just telling you, Dad. That guy don't like us. You better be careful. You better watch your mouth about cursing God's people. This United States of America, I don't care what kind of theology you got. I don't care what kind of wing-ding raising you had. You better make room for God's people if you want it to go well with you in this nation. The reason this nation needs to be about this nation is this very reason right here. We don't need all nations to bow down and serve us, but every nation should respect us. We're the peacekeepers in the earth. We're the evangelists of the world. We're the hands and feet of Jesus, even as messed up as we are. This family called the United States of America may be one of the most dysfunctional families on the planet right now. But we have a purpose, we have a place, and we've been prophesied over. And even as messed up as we are, we serve the rest of the world in an authoritative capacity that blesses those around us. Do you understand that if the United States of America is no longer who we are, that the world becomes highly dysfunctional? Chaos begins to ensue again because there's no protectionary mechanism. Financial institutions will crumble to the ground because a few greedy men begin to fill their pockets at the poverty of the masses. Injustice becomes the norm because there's no longer justice. God is not preached, nor is he glorified. Because the prophecy has been broken. How much do we talk about this dysfunctional family? How many of y'all got a dysfunctional family member named Nancy Pelosi? How many of y'all got a dysfunctional family member that's not near that famous? We're a pretty dysfunctional people, aren't we, really? We have a hard time playing in the same sandbox together. Crud, we claim to be Christians, we can't even go to church together. We have a hard time functioning. We lie when nobody knows we're lying. We hear God and do our own thing anyhow. We know how to manipulate people. We know how to get our way. We know all this stuff. This isn't old stuff. We know everything on that page we know how to do. I run horse sales for a living. I can do this way better than they do it. I know how to do it. Does God's will get worked out in my life anyhow? You ain't kidding. Sometimes when my methods don't work, my methods aren't right or whatever, we went through that, God seems to get it pulled off. Why? Because I'm a son. When you read over in Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 2, go read all that. God said he was blessed to have all the fullness of Christ, the Godhead, to reconcile all things unto himself, to call us sons and daughters, to raise his son Jesus to the highest place of supremacy, all authority, that all nations would bow down to him, that the earth would respond to the government of God, that the fields would be blessed, that the dew from heaven and the fatness of the earth would work together. How many of y'all have grown up in church where you want the dew from heaven all the time? Out here in West Texas, we think it's called rain. In church, we call it an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But if you read in chapter 1, he said he was pleased to have all the fullness dwell in all of you. He filled all things to do all. Yet we're waiting on some more dew from heaven. Your promise said that you've been blessed. Ephesians 1 says that he has given you every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. That he has seated him in the highest place, and then it said he seated us right there with him. You know what that is? That's a birthright. Because of being born again into Jesus, this now becomes my promise. I am in the line of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. If you curse me, God will curse you. Well, I don't know. That's kind of Old Testament. Well, I believe it's 1 Corinthians 3:16 or 1 Corinthians 6:19, one of the two. Do you not know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? And if any man seeks to destroy you, I will destroy him. Do not fear the enemies of God. Do not. He said, nations will bow down to you. Do you know why the United States of America needs to take the lead? Not to have authority and bully other nations, but that it would go well in God's created earth. When America does well, everybody does well. Why would that be? Because the rest of them all call us a Christian nation when we've had people in our White House that couldn't let those words come out of their mouth. But we're God's people, and we're God's nation. Blessed will be those who bless you. You watch how our allies, you watch how this goes over a period of time. How our enemies will seem to diminish. It's already happening. How actually people that used to be our enemy is now becoming our ally. Because of the promise. God has brought us a promise. So we've sat in church and waiting on outpourings of the Holy Spirit. We pray for rain so we can enjoy the fatness of the land. The Bible said, Joshua, wherever you place your foot, you own it, and the land that you own is going to provide for you. On what day do we walk outside these doors, put our foot down, and say, God, your promise said that we would enjoy the fatness of the land? If I would have studied this a little harder 2 months ago, my little pasture out there at my house might not sound like cornflakes when I rock across it.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message on Genesis chapter 27, verses 1 through 29. Come join us Wednesday night, 7:30, 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. We're on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And tune in every Sunday morning, 8 a.m. Mountain Time, to listen to Steve on AM 1450 Cow Country. For Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.